Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here this morning. We're going to start with, let's see, I'm just really off. Prayer meeting, our announcements. We meet online with Zoom, and it's really a great blessing. And so I'm encouraging you. I was busy wrapping presents and didn't meet this week, and I feel really bad. I remembered when they were just off. But I will be there next week. So you can either that or you can just call and be on the phone, but it works really well. Then we have the food pantry, and it's open on Wednesdays after Gleaners. It starts at Gleaners at 11, but then if you know someone that needs help, be sure and send them our way. And then also on Sundays, they are here after church. They're doing food boxes. They're delivering them today, and I have to run and get my part of it. So, after church. That's right, I will. And then what else is there? I guess we're doing six boxes today. The Chosen, we're going to start on season two, episodes one and two, that we will start on January 9th. So we will have a simple potluck and then watch the movie. So I hope you guys can all stay. It's very good. This one-star hotel was enough.
One star.
That's awesome. I love it. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, for you. We just lift today up to you. We just are thankful that we can come and worship you, Lord, and just concentrate on you as we celebrate Christmas this year. Father God, I lift Pastor Teresa up and the message that you have for us to hear. I lift the songs up and the worship up, Lord. Maybe may we just sing praises to you and let everything on the outside just fall away and just look at you, because you are the center. We love you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now we have the love candle.
Okay. Today we relight the first three candles of the Advent wreath, the candles of hope, peace, and joy. Now we light the fourth candle of Advent, the candle of love. Jesus demonstrated self-giving love in his ministry as the Good Shepherd. Advent is a time for kindness, thinking of others, and sharing with others. It is a time to love as God loved us by giving us his most precious gift. As God is love, let us be love also.
In the book of Deuteronomy, we find these words, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Deuteronomy 10, 17 through 19.
From the Gospel of John, we hear, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." John 13, 34, 35.
Let us pray. Teach us to love, O Lord. May we always remember to put you first as we follow Christ's footsteps, that we may know your love and show it in our lives. As we prepare for our celebration of Jesus' birth, also fill our hearts with love for the world. that all may know your love and the one whom you have sent, your Son, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. And next Sunday, we'll light the center one for Jesus. All right, let's stand, and we're going to worship the Lord here. We got great Christmas songs today. Good Christians now rejoice. With heart and soul and voice, give us heed to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christians now rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Joy, joy, Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door and man is blessed forevermore. Christ is born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christians now rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Peace, peace, Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting home. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. Away in a manger, no crib for a sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the he makes. My lovely Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close my eye forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to
Thank you.
Good morning, church. God bless you.
Good morning.
Let us take our tithes and offerings as the Lord has blessed us so much to do. Father, Lord, thank you for giving us so many things. Roofs over our heads for snow to fall on and warmth to be comfortable and to be safe. For vehicles that make the travel possible to be here. And for those online to join in our fellowship in one big family you give us here. Lord, let us give back from those abundant blessings. Amen. Now to my favorite part of the service. Yeah. It's great to sing, but if we never sung and we did this, we'd still be doing church. Plain and simple. There's plenty to pray about, plenty to praise God for. Oh, I'll just start off. Christmas break! Anyway. Those of us that are teachers, I know there's at least three in here and a couple retired. Christmas break! The house will get cleaned for the first time since school started. I guess so. I know prayer time isn't the time necessarily to share this sort of stuff, but board teachers, if you ever go on the Facebook group, board teachers, there's some good stuff there. Anyway, all right. I've online here, there's a few people who have been sharing some needs. Julie Marie Jackson, a sister of ours from a sister church, says, "Hi, Ivan. I'm sick and pain at home again still." So continue praying for Julie. Vicky is at home watching. I don't think she can hear right now. Her hearing is giving her trouble again, and she has a COVID booster, and that's causing problems. And I don't know if you've had that, but for each one of the three shots, I was sick as a dog afterwards. And so, yeah, and my father-in-law, nothing, no effect on him at all. So it affects us all differently. So praying for Vicky at home for the COVID booster effects. Regina Howell is asking us to pray for Christine Knight and her husband, Neil. Chris had a brain bleed and is in the hospital. So prayer for the Knights. And Ted is at home today. Debbie says, "Ted's at home suffering from a simple errand that I sent him on yesterday." So he's just maybe made him tired. Ted doesn't have the same stamina he used to. Although I'm glad he went on an errand. Amen. Get out of the house. That's right. God, if we're going to live, he wants us to go live, right? Not extravagantly, not crazy, but life abundantly. So that catches up that feed. And I know there were a few more things on the group me, I think. And anybody else here want to share? So, prayer for our brother Paul as he goes in for radiation treatment for this current battle with cancer, and prayer for Carol to walk alongside with him with all the recovery she's going through for her health issues as well. And I've said this before, some of you know Paul's story, some of you might not. He's a miracle already, as we all are, and God can have another miracle. The thing I love about Paul is he remembers his past, but he doesn't dwell there. And every day he knows, every day he says, "Thank you, God, for bringing me here." Yep, never fail. He's such a ministry to me, let me tell you.
Also,
do you remember which daughter? Who was it? Paige. Okay. So prayer for Wink and Phyllis and their daughter Paige and their whole families around them as they've been exposed to or become COVID positive to get through it. Fred.
You might remember my brother's fan. He's figured out what they're going to do for the radiation therapy. Mapped out all the dots on him, and he got it ready to go start next week, and I think he's going to have 15 stations or something like that.
Okay. So that's prayer for Fred's brother, Stan, my uncle, Stan Marble, and some radiation treatment coming up in regards to prostate cancer that he is struggling with. Yes. Bill.
I have a praise.
A praise?
A praise. Co-worker that we've been praying for, Jeff Williams, has had a stroke and was hospitalized for 20 days. He's back to work, praise the Lord.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I went to my boss and I said, "I'm not going to leave him alone, I'm going to stay the rest of the week," and he said, "Please do." And it was really a blessing just to visit with him. He's a very quiet person, kind of like me.
And that's your coworker, Jeff Williams.
Yes.
Jeff Williams. The praise for Jeff Williams being back to work after being in the hospital for 20 days. Absolutely. Josh. So Josh is praising God for good health for Christmas and being able to be instrumental in getting food boxes out today to families to bless them for the season. And was there one more thing I missed, Josh? I get it. Your good health, right? Yes, absolutely. Every day. Anyone else? Something to share? Sarah, go ahead. And that's for your coworker Alyssa. Yep. So praise that Alyssa, after a spinal surgery, has managed to walk a mile on the floor in the hospital where she's at, making good recovery that way. Prayer that her continued prolonged battle with cancer still will come to a positive end. Did I see someone else? I thought I saw someone else's hand back there. Oh, Vicky had an update. Was it on the feed? I didn't see it. Maybe it was in the group me. Maybe my feed's not updating as well as it should. Debbie, will you share it? Oh, yay! So Debbie shared for Vicky, and I don't know why it's not updating on my phone here, but that she can hear a little bit right now, and it's coming back, and she's able to hear us. So Vicky, we love you! And we're so glad you're with us virtually today. Okay, anyone else? Fred's lifting up his son, Mike, my brother, Mike Marble. It's not my story to tell, but I love him dearly. And he's at a big crossroads in decisions he's making. And God has given me an opportunity to sit him down on our couch at our house and say, you know, Jesus loves you. He loves you no matter what. And he wants you in relationship with him. He wants you back, Mike. And it was a tender moment. And I know he heard God's voice through mine. So I also ask you to lift up my brother, Mike, that he returns to a heart-to-heart relationship with God. God, you have heard us. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for always receiving our message. Lord, you even receive it when it just comes from our hearts and we fail to utter it with words. Lord, you receive it even when we forget to tell you. That you created each one of us, and you know each one of us by heart. Lord, as a family, our hearts want to lift up so many that have been mentioned here today, Paul and Stan and Ted and the Knight family, Vicky, to feel better after a COVID booster. Lord, so many ongoing concerns and needs, Lord, and praises for good health, for snow on the ground, showing us symbolically how you renew us and renew this earth every winter. Lord, thank you for the blessings of being together as family this season. Thank you for the blessings of family to pray for. Thank you for co-workers restored. Thank you for co-workers in the process of being restored. And thank you, Lord, for people going through illness right now, praising you for the opportunity to witness to those that care for them. Help us remember, Lord, that there's nothing more important than kingdom work, no matter what our station and status in life. God first, family second, church family right behind. But Lord, thank you for giving us this order in our lives. And Lord, now we pray for the world around us that seems to be nothing but disorder, chaos, immoral, and not understanding you. Father God, give us precious moments to influence with your love those around us, to see the order you provide, the stability you provide, the love you give, and the strength we receive. And let them taste and see that you are good through us. Lord, we know it's not meant to be stressful. It's just meant to be steady. So, Lord, be our integrity, be our strength, be our righteousness, and just let us be a light. Lord, we lift up our leaders. We will not fail to lift up the leaders that are placed above us right now, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask that you get to the door of their hearts and you knock right now and knock loudly. That they would open the door and receive guidance from you to best serve, best lead this nation forward toward your kingdom. Amen. All right, kids. One of my favorite moments because, well, you know, I have some of my favorite kids.
You guys ready to say prayer to go to Children's Church? You ready? Okay. Father, Lord, thank you for the blessing of children and how it is your sign to us that you wish for us to carry on your kingdom generation by generation by generation. Lord, please be in the hearts and minds of those that speak your love into their hearts right now. That this one moment be integral in the formation of a lifetime serving you. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Merry Christmas. God bless you.
Merry Christmas.
Amen. I know Christmas is coming. It's right around the corner. And we are on the way to Jesus. So I remember as a child being so excited about what Christmas Day would bring. Would it be snowing? I'm from New Jersey. It snows a lot, wintertime. And so we were almost guaranteed, Brother Fred, a white Christmas every single year.
So, you know, for me, I love the snow, building snowmen, making snow angels, having snowball fights, all that good stuff. Would it be snowing by then? And not only Christmas, not only anticipating Christmas, but any special day or season, anticipating the first day of school each year. It was a big deal for me as a kid. What am I going to wear? Am I going to like my teacher? Are my friends from last year going to be there with me? Are we going to make some new friends? You know, all that cool stuff. And then equally looking forward and anticipating summer. Just excited, you know, yeah, because summertime brought a vacation Bible school, again, another set of friends, playing double dutch and hopscotch. There were girls that lived across the street from me and on down the street. We always were running around outside, riding my bike, going to the library. There was a reading program, and they used to have a contest. So if you could read as many books as you could, and you'd get these little rewards for doing it. I mean, all of that. Playing outside until the lightning bugs came out. We would catch them, you know, spy on them with our eyes, and then let them go. Sometimes we'd get a jar and do it, but it was just the best. And it seems like I spent a lot of my childhood waiting with expectation for the next big thing and wondering how much longer it would be before it would arrive. I mean, why does it take so long for summer to get here? Why does it take so long for school to start? Why does it take so long for Christmas to come? In today's journey on the way to Jesus, we will meet two people who are waiting with expectation for the arrival of the Messiah. Their story is found in Luke chapter 2. So today, on the way to Jesus, the title is Waiting with Expectation. So if you would, if you can, follow along, go to Luke chapter 2, whatever translation you prefer. I'll be sharing from the New Living Translation. And it says in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, and then we're going to jump down to 25 and a few following after that. So listen what it says, verse 21. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, we're talking about baby Jesus, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So Mary and Joseph take baby Jesus to present him. Verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Go down to verse 36. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned to home in Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. Amen to the word of the Lord. We just read the first days of baby Jesus' life. At 8 days old, he's circumcised. And then about a month later, it's about day 40, you're supposed to go and make that offering. So Mary and Joseph go to the temple to present their purification offering with two turtle doves. Now, a lot of scholars like to point out their poverty. They like to remind people that Jesus came from humble beginnings. His parents were not wealthy. If you go back and look in scripture, there were different things that you can offer. You're really supposed to offer a lamb, a spotless lamb. But if you couldn't afford that, and meat is still expensive even today, it really is. So if you go to different countries, meat is a delicacy. So they couldn't afford that. But what they could afford were the two turtle doves. And so they came and presented their offering. This ordinary event becomes extraordinary when the family encounters Simeon and Anna, two people who are waiting with expectation for the arrival of the long-promised Messiah. And as we examine their stories, we will hopefully see ourselves and how we can be like the two of them. So up first is Simeon. The description of Simeon is that he was righteous and devout, and eagerly awaiting for the Messiah. When scripture gives us descriptions of people, we should pay attention because there's a lesson to be learned. So right away, we see the foundation of God's favor towards Simeon. Look at the text. He is righteous and devout. And remember what the prophet Micah said. We talked about this before. Micah says, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So now the question for us, because we see that's exhibited in Simeon, the question for us, do we love mercy? Do we do what's right? And are we walking humbly with God? It's very tempting to get caught up with the world standards and worry about comparing yourself to others. It's horrible that we do this. Am I faster? Am I smarter? Richer? Better looking? Have more stuff than the person next to me? Am I good at not breaking the rules and keeping up appearances? God is not interested in any of that. None of that. He is not interested in our performance, because that's all it is. It's a show for the people around us. However, God, Sister Carolyn, is very much interested in our hearts. What we desire will guide our actions. Jesus teaches when he becomes an adult. He says to people, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. He says that in Matthew 6, verse 21. Why do I share that? Scripture gives another example of people who walked upright, like Enoch and Noah. You'll find their stories in Genesis chapters 5 and chapter 6. 6. We have to go back and look at them again because they teach us how to walk with God. But in addition to naming people, Scripture is explicit in teaching the importance of walking with God. I share this because there's something to learn that we can be like Simeon, expecting God to show up. Look at Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 says this, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." So that means you're focusing on living for God. The prophet Jeremiah says to Israel in chapter 7, "But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you." That's God speaking to his people. Walk with me. Be in fellowship with me. Have right relationship with me so that it can go well with you. We need to walk with God and figure out what our treasure is. Whatever you focus on dictates your actions. I'll say it again. Whatever you focus on dictates your actions. When you focus on earthly success and wealth, you will expend your energies on earthly matters. You're always going to worry about the next job so that you can get a bigger paycheck, and then that bigger paycheck is going to buy a bigger house or a better car or the whatever, because that is what you treasure. You're going to focus on those things. When you focus on God's priorities, however, your actions will reflect different priorities, and your reward will last forever. And God can bless you in this life as he did Simeon. Simeon had one track mind. I'm going to see the Messiah. I am hoping in the Messiah. And so God blessed him. We need to be like Simeon. Simeon's treasure was seeing the manifestation of God's Messiah. He lived in anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. And so his life reflected that. The Messiah was his motivation to walk uprightly before God and to live a life devoted to God. There's a difference, people, between trying to keep all of these laws and rules and regulations and actually being in relationship with God. When you're devoted to God and you really love God and you're trying to do what's right, you're walking with him and you're living upright, all the rules and regulations will fall in place. Because if God is ahead of your life, you are going to love the other people around you, because God is love. But if you are twisted in your treasure and you're only worried about, I've got to do this, I've got to be like this because Sister Judy's going to see me, and then when Sister Betty comes to church, I'm going to do this and that. No, that's where you're going to fail. And that's where you're going to get tired, because Sister Judy and Sister Betty, they may change their minds. And then you're never going to be able to rise and perform at the level that they're expecting. So be like Simeon and focus on God. What does God want from me? He wants to be in relationship with me. He wants to know me, and he wants me to know him. And when we know him, Sarah, he gives us joy. I am so blessed by the story of your coworker, Alyssa, because no matter how hard this life is, she's just shining brightly for Jesus. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to know who he is. So no matter what's going on in our life, we're doing like Simeon, we're doing like Alyssa. Oh, but my God is good, my God is great. And it doesn't matter that my body's breaking down. It doesn't matter that those other people out there don't believe. I know who God is, and he loves me. And your life then becomes devoted to being with God. So Simeon's devotion led to God's promise that he would see the Messiah arrive before he would die. And so the day that Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple, the Holy Spirit directs Simeon to be there. And then he gets to see that precious baby. The second lesson we learned from Simeon is how to wait. We're always going to wait. You're going to get to the stoplight and you're going to have to wait if you drive. Or if you're the passenger in the car, you're going to have to wait. Okay? If you run that red light, there's consequences. When you get to the doctor's office, even though you made the appointment, Sister Lori, I don't understand. They told me to be here at 10:45. I'm here at 10:35. And I still have to wait past 10:45. I don't understand. Nevertheless, I wait. You get in line, you walk through the store, you get your groceries, and then you come to the cashier and you go, oh, I have to wait here too. You go to the bank, you're gonna have to wait. Sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you get lucky, right, Sister Donna? And you walk up and, ooh, there's a clerk and nobody's there. And then you can run. And then they'll, you know, and what do they do? What do we call that? They wait on you. Yeah, isn't that something? How wait flips back and forth to serve, but also to be waiting. Simeon teaches us how to wait. The text describes him waiting eagerly. Now, of course, I had to go look up the word eager. What does eager mean? Marked by enthusiastic or impatient desire or interest. Check that out. Marked by enthusiastic or even impatient desire or interest. And here's some synonyms for the word eager. Enthusiastic, excited, pumped, stoked, and I like this one, hungry. I know, right, Sister Carolyn? Hungry is a synonym for eager. And think about it. You know, we have expressions when we say we're hungry for something. He's hungry for winning that. So they go out like an athlete. They're hungry for that prize. So they practice and they practice and they practice. You got to be hungry for it. That's what Simeon was. He was hungry for meeting the Messiah. Simeon wasn't merely waiting for the Messiah, like some folks might be today. Yeah, I mean, if you ask any Joe Blow Christian, yeah, Jesus is coming back eventually, someday. But Simeon was stoked. He was excited. The Messiah is on his way. And I am going to see him one day. That's how Simeon was. Seeing God's promise was Simeon's treasure. It was his heart's desire. His desire led him to live a life searching for, being stoked about, and being hungry to meet the Messiah. His hunger placed him under the influence of the Spirit, and he was obedient to the Spirit's direction, which led him to the temple that glorious day. Now, let's look at Anna. What do we learn from her, the prophet? The prophet Anna, we are told, was widowed 7 years after she married. Now, the Bible doesn't mention children, so we actually don't know if she had any. She may have. What we do know is that she, like Simeon, dedicated her life to God. It was custom to find her at the temple for both the morning and the evening services. That's a lot of church, people. That's a lot of church. Every day going in the morning and in the evening. that's a lot. But it showed her devotion. And side note, because I know historically, at least when I was a kid, when we taught this lesson in either Sunday school or Vacation Bible School, whenever we would be doing it, that Anna actually lived at the church building. But no, she actually didn't. When it says that she never left, it's just a hyperbole. Like when we say never, we rarely ever mean never. But we use that word, don't we? She did leave the temple because nobody lived there. It's just an expression because she was there so much. It seemed like she lived there, right? Because she's there in the morning. She's there in the evening. It actually is a statement to show how often she was there, and it adds to her notable practice of praying and fasting. That was her devotion. She was like, I know that the Messiah is going to come. It may not be in my lifetime, but I know my God is faithful, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to speak the word of God, because that's what she was. She was a prophet. She went and spoke the word of God to those who needed to hear from God. The temple, as described in the Old Testament, was not a very large building at all, actually. And only the priests could access the heart of the temple. The job of the priests was to preside over the offerings, and they divided their duty up via a schedule similar to what we do today on our jobs. You have a morning shift, you have an afternoon shift, you have an evening shift, and then there's days of the week that you're supposed to be there. And remember when we read in the stories before this on the way to Jesus, that that's what happened with Zechariah, right? It was his time to be there performing the duties. So it's no different from when Mary and Joseph now take Jesus to present him to do their sacrifice. There has to be a priest there to receive those two turtle doves and to offer them to God. So that's what the priests did. And they didn't live at the temple either. They all went to their homes, but would come to the temple and serve as they were called upon. In fact, devout Jews could only access the designated areas for the believers. The large plaza, the porticos, the columns, the staircases, all those elaborate things surrounding the temple, those were actually built by Herod the Great. And those structures attracted people from all over the world, literally. And it's the outer courts where you see Simeon and you see the prophet Anna. And that's where they encounter Mary and Joseph, because no one goes into the temple itself, into the heart of it, because it's only for the priest. So you meet outside and you take and you see others, and there's actually, there's courts for people, because even as a non-believer, you can go to the temple. Well, you used to be able to go. The temple doesn't exist now. But for those non-Jews, there was a gate, there was a court to receive those who were not Jewish. So there were different places outside of the temple where people would come and go. So again, no one lived there, but much happened at and so that's where you see Simeon and Anna encountering Joseph and Mary. And so we see the prophet Anna, she's devoted. She's walking with God like Simeon. And then the other thing we glean from her example is that she shares the good news. So Simeon, when he sees the baby, he just breaks out with praise. And then he blesses Mary and Joseph. He prophesies over the baby. When Anna comes and meets them, she too breaks out in praise. But then she turns around and she does what a prophet would do, goes and tells everybody. She doesn't just soak in the glory of laying her eyes on the sweet baby Messiah. She bursts into praise, so that all the people who were in those courts at that time, you're turning and going, ooh, what's that lady talking about? What's she singing about? What's happening over there? And then she turns around and she shares the good news. She explains, this is why I was praising. Remember, I told you that the Messiah was coming? He's here. And she goes and tells those others who were waiting, because there were other Jews who were waiting. We know that the Messiah is coming. We know the Messiah is near. She gets running and she says, guess what? The Messiah has come. I laid my own eyes on the babe himself. How excited are you about the return of the King? Because we no longer look for the first coming of the Messiah. We know the rest of the story of how Jesus grows up, how he dies on the cross and is resurrected and ascended back into heaven. Are we excited like Simeon and Anna that he is going to return? Are we eager about it, Sister Betty? Are you fasting and praying and ready to share the good news? We've met the Messiah. I know. Some of you are going like, wait, what now? I didn't meet him. Yeah, I know. We weren't there at the manger. We weren't there at the day at the temple when he got dedicated. We weren't there for his circumcision or his coming of age. We weren't even there when he performed the first miracle at the wedding. We have, however, met the Lord's Messiah. The Holy Spirit gives witness that we have been redeemed by God himself through Jesus Christ, his Messiah. And so though we may not have physically walked and talked with Jesus, he is in our hearts. And he's available to anyone who receives him. So we do know the Messiah. And if you don't know him, you have the chance. It's not too late. For those of us who know, get excited. Be like Simeon. Be like Anna. Eager, stoked, ready to share the good news. I want to close by quoting Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan serves at St. Luke Lutheran Church in Iowa. He says this: Christmas means God has come to us. The promises are fulfilled. The Messiah has come. The world will be turned upside down, and people's lives will be given meaning. You and I have the same proof that Anna and Simeon got that day in the temple. God came to us. The Son of God is born. This is the good news we carry, the reason we're here today. God has come to us, and God is still with us today and forever. Somebody say amen to Pastor Dan's words. Amen. And I want to add to Pastor Dan's sentiments. Yes. God is with us, and Jesus is coming again. So we've lit those candles thinking about the first Advent. But I remind you, my dear brothers, my sisters, Jesus is coming again. So get excited. My hope for us is that we be like Simeon, that we be like Anna. Wait with expectation for Christ to come again. And while we wait, we will not grow weary, but we will remain excited, full of hope, stoked, enthusiastic, and hungry for the King's return. I also hope that we will be willing to share our faith, share our hope and our love with others, just as they did. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the examples that you give us, that we can look back on the lives on the way to Jesus and see humble people living their lives for you, wanting to be used by you. Thank you for Simeon's example of being devoted to you, walking upright with you, walking with you, eagerly expecting your salvation. We thank you for the prophet Anna. We look back on her story, even though just a few sentences, Lord God. But yet we still learn from her example. Help us to praise you whenever we can and turn around to the people around us and tell them why we praise. We expect your Messiah to return again for us, for those who remain, who walk uprightly, who are trying to live our lives for you the best that we can. We thank you, God, for that privilege. Bless us now as we celebrate the first advent of your Son. In your precious and holy name we pray it. Amen. All right, let us close with a song.
And we're going to close with Jesus Loves Me. You may stand.
Jesus loves me, this I know. Loves me, Him who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let His little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus takes this heart of mine, make it pure and holy.
Praise the Lord. Not only does Jesus love us, but God loves us, and that's why he sent Jesus. So my prayer for you this week is that you would experience Jesus in a new way, that you anticipate Christmas, not for the gifts that you think that you're going to get or those things that you're going to give, but that you are reminded of why we celebrate Christmas. That Jesus, the long-awaited for Messiah, finally came, and that he'll show up in your life in a new way so that you can expect, like Simeon and Anna, his second coming. Lord, bless us, keep us until we meet again. Lord bless you. And thank you for joining us, those of you on social media. God bless you and God keep you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Did you tell them the flowers
yes.
for her?
I have okay. no, I haven't.
Oh, okay. I'm going to.